You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison in Salt Lake.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right, we're back again. I think we had a little bit of an extendo break. It might be a little longer of a break than we normally have, but our last episode was so action-packed that we felt like we needed the break.
It was enough.
Plus, it's
long
it's
enough
summer.
To miss each other.
Exactly. It's summer in Chicago for me, man. Come on, I got to enjoy it while I can.
Yeah, those peak, what is it, like 2 or 3 weeks? You're going to have like killer weather?
No, that's Seattle. That is Seattle. Chicago
that's
is like,
true. I'm sorry. You
got to get super muggy and hot.
Although this year and last year in Seattle, it wasn't that way at all. It's just been ongoing, really awesome weather.
Nice.
Hot.
Don't you
hot.
Miss it?
Oh, I do. We'll be moving back in September, actually.
Oh,
I forgot
wow.
to tell you guys.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's happening quick.
Awesome. You're
good
back
times.
In Seattle then.
September or October. Yeah.
It'll all.
Awesome.
Now I'll home be the only one not
home.
On the coast.
You know how you always hear people say that? Well, now
yeah.
we're experiencing
it. Welcome back really to true. My time zone.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'll be the only person way great. Out here to the east.
Yeah.
All you guys. But okay, cool. So before we get into the episode, I do want to address something. We had a comment on iTunes. First of all, I want to say thanks for everyone listening and for leaving those great comments and the 5-star reviews
totally.
And all that stuff. We count on it. We love it. Can't thank you enough for it. However, we did get a 3-star review recently, which I would like to just kind of talk about for a minute because it's something I think maybe there's a misunderstanding here. So this one says, love the podcast, but very disappointed that you guys would suggest using Thumbtack as a positive thing. These bidding sites are a leech on our industry and promote the idea that design is not something worth paying a professional for. So Mikhail, what episode was this that we
this
it
is
was
with Bill.
It was the trend logo one we had done
the
with Bill recently. It was just the recent.
It was the listener
recent.
Question.
And it was the listener question that came about that raised this discussion topic of how to source and network and get those to collaborate with for your business. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned I have had some fantastic luck with Thumbtack. And it's absolutely not a bidding site in my mind. Mm-hmm. It's about those that you obtain proposals from for project specs that you publish for a mm-hmm. project. And my goal is to see about those that are, you know, and again, I can afford this. I've got an mm-hmm. established company. So I omit those that are low range straight
yeah.
away.
You know,
and
your target.
I look for those that are mid to the higher range because those are the ones that are going to deliver the best quality work. And they also have to feature a pretty kick-ass portfolio. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's a way for us to overview those, the talent out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then also what's huge for me is relationships. I don't want just a one person job. I want to be able to start building relationships so that that
oh, yeah.
dev contact or that designer mm-hmm. contact that assists projects of mine is an ongoing relationship, not just mm-hmm. a one-time deal.
Yeah. So it sounds like, and I understand like this person who left the review is saying, calling it a bidding site, and it's a bidding site only in so much that you bid on the project. It's not like an auction style.
And you're not doing
you know,
any work.
Right.
You're not like people aren't undercutting
yeah.
each other. You're looking
no.
at the design brief and you're saying, this is how much I would charge to do it.
And,
same as.
And to
with
be
like,
honest, I'm not sure that those interested, I don't know that they all see each other's proposals.
Probably.
By
not.
The way, I don't
yeah.
think they know how to undercut.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this is not akin to 99 Designs or something
or
like
the
that.
Tournament logos. Yeah.
Right. It's not that way. So, you know, and to be honest with you, there's a lot of people who are maybe just starting out or maybe mm-hmm. who are well into their careers or maybe this is a good way for them to find work. So,
yeah.
you know, it's hard to ever say, don't ever find work this way. Because, I mean, if as long as you're saying what you would charge for it, you're under no obligation to charge like a minuscule amount. You know what I'm saying? So
it doesn't mean that it's not competitive. It's always going to be competitive.
We totally agree. I mean, we've had an episode all about no spec work. You know, we firmly like agree with her or him on that kind of topic, that no work should be done before a payment or any kind of agreement is made. That is truly what we all understand and believe. But wouldn't you say the bulk of our questions come from people that are looking for how to get more work? You know,
it's a common problem.
Five different ways. That seems to be the most common question we get on the podcast. So I still feel it was a great answer to this one listener's question, because they were struggling to find any work, I think, at that time. And he was trying to get his business off and running. So we agree with you, but I think also this is maybe we have to define a little bit more what Thumbtack was. And I think, you know, Mikkel just did that.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I got my place renovated, when I first moved in, I used a system similar to that. Like, it wasn't Angie's List, but it was something like that, where you had a few people kind of bid on the project. They're under no obligation to do any work up front or anything. You just say how much you charge. So, you know, to really throw that whole site under the bus is probably not, you know, it's not 99 Design. So I think it's okay to still use a site like that. Just don't undercut yourself. That's it.
And don't do work unless you have an agreement ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah. Hope that helps.
Yeah. Hopefully it clears a few things up and keep those, the reviews coming though. We do love getting those, and we love it when you share us with a friend. We count on that. All right, cool. So on with the show. But before we get to our topic at hand, which is going to be a fun one, it's going to be our newest secret weapons that we use on a daily basis. We're going to give some love to our friends at FreshBooks, because we love them ever so much. You know, it's one of those things that invoicing is never the highlight of your day as a designer, you know. It's fun to get paid, but it's not fun to create the invoices. So what they
do, you don't get paid without that invoice.
Exactly. They take the barricades away from you and your money. So you get to just go on there, spend, you know, no more than 30 seconds putting together an invoice. It sends it out on your behalf. It's branded with your colors, your logo, all that good stuff. It looks super professional. And, you know, you can see when an invoice has been looked at, and you can set up automatic payment reminders. So, you know, you can set it up if it's late, you know, maybe every couple of days they get a new reminder, just pestering the hell out of them until they pay up.
I just got a notice that there's a no sweat setup, so that you can simply just select like a bank transfer on your next invoicing submittal.
Just announced that, I believe. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I also did my first invoice actually directly on the phone the other day, which was kind of cool. I was completely mobile the whole day. I didn't have a chance to kind of fire up the laptop, and I had to get this invoice out. And luckily it wasn't a too detailed one, and I had the copy written already in an email. I was just cutting and pasting right into the app on my phone and designed and made my first invoice mobile. So it gives you that option to do in case that's the only way you have it.
On the go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic. That's really cool. Yeah, we love it. We love FreshBooks. It's just such an easy way to get your money, because no one likes to invoice. So why think too much about it? You know, so we get 1 month free for our listeners. If you have not tried it out yet, we don't know what you're thinking.
What are you waiting for?
Exactly. and you don't need a credit card to sign up. Go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and then enter Deeply Graphic in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So it's freshbooks.com, easy for me to say, /deeplygraphic, and then enter Deeply Graphic in the How You Heard About Us section. All right. I'm excited about this episode, because I get to talk about something that I've recently discovered that I'm kind of in love with. So
nice.
It's all about our newest secret weapons that we use as designers. So we all have something to talk about, something we discovered fairly recently that has really upped our game as designers, and has kind of helped our workflow out quite a bit. So I guess I can get us started. This is the one that kind of got this episode off the ground. I want to talk about a little app I discovered Because I, as we all know, all I do is pretty much web these days. And I was using Photoshop in conjunction with Illustrator to do my designs. Mm-hmm. It was fine. I thought it was the only way to do it until, you know, one of my contacts I was doing some work for, she works for a company. So I was doing supplemental work for that company, a larger online company. And their workflow required us to use Sketch. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's Sketch has been out for a few years, but I have not heard a whole lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, over same the years. Here.
Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's finally kind of getting its due. But so anyway, yeah. I was kind of more or less like not bamboozled, like kind of hustled into using Sketch because I had to work for this client. I was like, really, like. Why do I have to learn something new? I don't want to learn something new.
When you've got a busy schedule and you'd have to learn something new. Yeah, that's never awesome news.
It always sounds horrible. Like when you're used to something. Yeah.
Yeah. And it requires change oftentimes, regardless of whether, you know.
When you don't have the time.
Yeah. Right. And you just have to crank out stuff. Exactly.
Exactly. But so they said, you know, they would pay my hourly rate while I learned it. You know, just spend a couple, she's like, spend a couple hours learning. And I'm like, a couple hours? How many years did it take me to learn Photoshop? So anyway, like, so I look up on YouTube, just look up some videos about how to get started with Sketch. And it was really easy. And it was such a great breath of fresh air workflow compared to using Photoshop. And we'll talk about all the reasons why. Mm-hmm. And I should say right off the bat, Sketch is only on Mac. So our listeners with PCs, you know,
SOL.
Yeah, I guess so. This one's really not for you, but it's almost worth getting a Mac just to be able to use Sketch. Yeah.
It's that good.
And I'll also say too, this is in no way any kind of a tie-in with a sponsorship or anything. Sketch is not paying us to say
no,
this.
No, although we are definitely promoting it.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm just a big believer in once I find a better way to do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like to talk about it. Like,
yeah.
You know, and let's be honest, if responsive design were not so crazy important these days and imperative with our deliverables, Sketch may not be as awesome of a shift. Sketch setup and UI setup is so perfect for responsive design.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
So Mikkel, you and I actually worked for the same company. Like we did work for the same company and that's why we both are
support
on
support for yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why we're both on board with this at the same time.
And although I admit that I collaborate with developers that have asked me, you gotta try it. It's so awesome. Because from a front end perspective as a dev contact, mm-hmm. it's that much easier to break down the responsive attributes from their standpoint. Yeah. So it's a win-win.
Let's just talk a bit about the different reasons why we love Sketch. You can talk to Mikkel. I just made a little list of the things I love about it and what makes it kind of different from Photoshop. Mm-hmm. So when I used to do Photoshop for a, you know, any kind of web design, you'd have to design every page in a new Photoshop document. And there would always be some kind of question about how wide do I make this? Like where are the margins, all that stuff. Like you'd always have to mm-hmm. kind of stay up on the research of what's the most trendy, like browser width and all that stuff. With Sketch, you can literally build the entire project in one file using multiple artboards. So what you do is you go in there to start and you do insert artboard. And then you get mm-hmm. to choose between all these like desktop HD, and it makes all these different widths, and you can do responsive. You can do, it'll say iPhone 6. It'll say iPhone 6 Plus. Like you can make all these different, you can do iPad widths. You can just, and it's already pre-made to the exact right width, which mm-hmm. makes it super easy. So what I do, I'll just go in and I'll do the homepage. I mean, usually 99% of the time you start with the homepage. You know, I'll do that on a just desktop normal. And then, you know, you can build all the other pages next to it. And you can not only all the different pages, but whenever there's like any kind of a hover state or like a drop down state or anything, you can make a duplicate of that page. And then right next to it, you can just add all the different states next to it. So you've got homepage. You've got, because I'm working on a website right now for a rental car company. So there's like the booking widget. So I had to mock that up. Like, what does it look like when you, you know, choose which car you want? What does it look like when you choose the date picker? So all of these things are different screens you have to design for. And in Photoshop, you would literally be doing it either on new Photoshop files each time, or you would like put the color, the, you know, the car picker and the date picker like in a hidden folder or something. Yeah. It was just, it gets really confusing, and this is just such an easier way to do it.
So as labeling became so crucial for all those layers, grouped layers, and so on.
Folders, yeah.
For that very reason.
So for me, as being completely unfamiliar with it, is it basically designed, or is the app your way of laying out and designing your website before going into building all of the, or do you build on this and then that's everything you need?
It's not used for building, but we'll get to how it's
design
helpful.
Oriented.
Yeah, it's design oriented. That's
but it
what
is helpful to your devs later because of how it exports stuff. Well,
sure.
We'll get
okay.
to that in a bit.
Cool.
Yeah, but so the next thing I really love about it is you can easily define your text styles, which is hard to say. I'm not saying text styles like clothing, text styles. So like, for instance, like you can have your title, you can have your H1, your H2, and you can define all these with, you know, the font, the size, the color, the line height, which is important.
And then just click on, with one click, it's already assigned. It's already been assigned. So, and you know, templatized, so to speak, within the doc, it's just handy.
So if you've got like, you know, if you've got a copy doc you're working from, you just copy it, paste it in, and then you have it highlighted and you click, you know, paragraph text and it just styles it the way it should be.
Nice.
Which is great. Although we'll get to there is a caveat there. Like it can be a little dangerous whenever you change a style because it'll change
them all.
But I mean, it's a little dangerous, but it keeps things nice and consistent too. So it's, you just have to be
style
a little,
sheet wise for front end. Yep.
Exactly. You just got to be a little careful with it. The next thing that I love are the use of symbols. So let me think of a good example of this. So like, for instance, in the site I'm working on now, the rental car site, we've got the booking widget. That involves a lot of different things. That involves several form fields and a submit button and all these things. But I can take that whole lockup and make it a symbol. And then let's say I show it to the client. Like, I don't like the button being red. I want it to be green. All I got to do is go in and edit that symbol, and it changes it across all the different artboards.
So they're all linked.
Yes.
Oh, sure. Nice. So whatever hex value adjustment you've shifted,
right,
it universally makes that adjustment across the board.
Right. Or, I mean, if I were to make any
so
kind of change
to it. It's
tedious
to have to do that to all attributes in Photoshop. It's a waste of time.
I can't believe it's taken this long for a
program
like
this
evolution.
To show
up.
Yeah. It sounds like
you
needed this program to be the next best thing to building your website out.
And by the way, how long do we think it's going to take before Adobe just buys Sketch, by the way?
I'm wondering the same.
I bet they will.
But it doesn't take long.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, now we've given them the idea. They'll be on.
Yeah,
the,
I know. So
they never
I think you need
they
a finder.
They haven't thought
you need
of
a
it
finder's,
at all.
You need a finder's fee.
Right. How about a little something for the effort, Adobe? We gave you the
exactly.
idea.
Exactly. The introduction.
Exactly. But like, for instance, again, with the symbols, like you can make a whole header. You can make the footer and make it into a symbol. So like, okay, for another good example for this, I'm building the header and it's going to have the client's phone number in there. They're a new company. They don't have a phone number yet. So right now it's just a dummy 555, you know, movie phone number in there. But as soon as they get their phone number, all I got to do is edit it the one time and it applies across all the artboards. So it's great.
That's great.
Which it did take me a little while to wrap my brain around these components being labeled symbols for Sketch programmatically itself. Because
really?
When I think of symbols, I think of small widget, like, you know, arrows.
I think of like an icon or, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Iconography style. Okay. So it took me a little while to get my brain wrapped around that for Sketch, but it's symbols, I think, is a huge, It's huge for Sketch.
Yeah.
It's a huge plus.
And that's one of the reasons why our client that kind of insisted that we get on board with Sketch, this is one of the reasons why. Because if anything goes, like if any kind of feedback is given, it makes it so much easier to make that switch out. You know, it's just a time saver.
It sounds like such a time saver. Beyond
time efficiency.
Yeah.
Because of those shifts that you can make uniformly. Mm-hmm.
And you know what, like, I dare say a program like this, like, I'm thinking specifically of my sister, Christy, friend of the show, she's been on before. She does not like doing web design. Like, she's not comfortable with it. She just feels like she doesn't know about it. Nick, maybe you too, like.
Same idea. I was just thinking this. Yeah.
Nick, now,
This is a reason why I don't do web design. I feel so far behind on what you guys have been. When I get those files from a client to grab assets from a website and I get all their PSDs and everything layered and all the dev stuff, I would never ever want to do that. Just that's how I work. So this sounds like a really cool introduction. I'm definitely going to play around with it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, my point is I think that using Sketch almost, I mean, yes, it's just a tool. You still have to know the ins and outs, but the fact that you can pick, you can choose the correct browser width, you can choose all that, like the pre-made stuff. I feel like it really takes a lot of the guesswork out of designing for the web. I think it's going to make it more attainable for designers.
If you were to just be art directing a site, and then obviously it's maybe your client has a dev or there's a dev person already who would take the concept and build it. Would this work for someone like myself where, let's say, I just want to give them some kind of a workable visual feel of what the idea of the website should be?
Okay, I was going to bring up one of the main advantages of Sketch is for presentation purposes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Huge.
Yeah.
You can make one huge artboard and throw all of your pages and subpages in there, including mobile views and tablet views. And present it so that they see the same consistent themed-esque approach to every single display.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
And there's also a cool feature too where I don't really do this so much for my day-to-day clients, but for this one client that we're talking about, things are presented just kind of on PDFs. So if you can have all of your artboards, and you can export them all to PDF with one click, pretty much. Like, so then it just generates a PDF. By the way, the one thing that's kind of sucks about that is I don't know what kind of PDFs they're generating with Sketch, but they are freaking huge.
Huge. It's almost like they're print ready.
Yeah, and I always have to go through the extra step of importing them into Acrobat and then save as reduced file size PDF.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a workaround for anyone.
That's a good thing to note. That's a good thing to note.
Oh, because they're the PDFs they generate are like 700 megabytes. It's insane.
Yeah. So you got to do the smallest size.
Which is PDF. So interesting because one of the biggest pluses of Sketch files compared to Photoshop is they're not so beefy. Yeah. They're not so whopping huge. I mean, Photoshop files are crazy. Mm-hmm. So Sketch files aren't nearly the same. But one distinction I was going to make, I don't utilize Sketch for raster image manipulations. Any background imagery that's flooding the page or the hero region, I do all those manipulations still in Photoshop. And then I export them to drop them into Sketch.
Sure. It depends on what they are. I will say there's a few things you can easily do in Sketch, which are if you're going to add kind of a color overlay to it.
And gradients and sure.
I haven't figured out the gradient part yet.
Discovered that, but okay. I still think it's best to retain. I mean, Photoshop that's their number one, like bread and butter is raster image manipulation. So why not continue to utilize it for that?
But they've got a good blur function within Sketch. Mm-hmm. You can blur the photos because a lot of times if you're having a background photo, you'll want to blur it just to kind of make the text stand out on top of it more. There's certain things you can do pretty easily. Yeah, you can't get too advanced with the photo manipulation in Sketch. It's not really what it's for. You're right about that, Mikkel. Okay, it's cool. So let's go in through my list of other things I love about it. So it's got built-in layout guides, which are easy to modify. So I think there's something with Photoshop with that too, but I think it's a plugin you have to add.
Mm-hmm. I have not.
I have not worked with that. I never did either, like with the columns and stuff and the gutters.
Okay.
Yeah, but this, it's built into Sketch, so you'll just see, like, you can just click Show Layout, and it'll show, like, you know, these really light gray columns, and you can choose the number of them, the gutter width, and all that stuff. And it's a pretty just nice visual way to lay everything out and make sure it's easy. And one thing that they talk about, but I have not gotten it to work. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. You're supposedly able to, let's say you're designing a site or an app. We should say this is also for apps, obviously, but
sure.
You can, there's a way where you can mirror, like if you're designing it with like an iPhone artboard, you're supposed to be able to mirror that to your actual device. And I tried it one time and it didn't work for
me.
And I don't know what I was doing wrong.
Wait, but when you say mirror, can you describe how you mean by
demo it on your device?
Demo it. Like it'll show up, like it'll send it to your phone. So you can look at
Yeah, I've heard of that. And I know some students have used that for a lot of comps with Sketch.
Hmm. So Sketch collaborates with Envision App, and that's part of the reason I wanted to discuss Envision App for prototyping today. But all you have to do is load your Sketch file to Envision App and then pull it up on your phone and you can scroll through.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. As a prototype. It's nice. Awesome.
That might be the way I need to do it from now on. Okay, cool. So the last thing is, and this one's pretty huge for me because you've heard me talk a lot before about problems I would have with my developer, things just kind of being missed with Photoshop documents. Because the thing about a Photoshop document, everything's a little freeform in there.
And like scaled everything's a little weird.
Yeah, well, it's a little freeform. Like there's no text, you know, there's no text styles defined within it. Like it just is what it is, but there's nothing telling my developer, like, this is, you know, the Arial font at 12 points at, you know, 17 point line height. None of that. So what I would get back is him eyeballing it a lot. He would eyeball it, usually wrong.
This keeps it much more consistent.
Oh,
huh?
Because it kind of exports it with like a style guide almost. I think it does have a style guide. Like H1 is this font at this size and this color. So he knows.
No mistakes. Yeah.
No mistakes. So like this last website I worked on, and it was the first time I ever gave him, you know, collaborated with a project with him via Sketch. He was hesitant to use it because he's on a PC. He just didn't know about it very well. So we found there is a third party app. It's called Zeppelin that you can use to basically export your Sketch file so that your developer is not using Sketch, but he's using Zeppelin online, where it's giving him all the assets. He's seeing all the designs. He's seeing all the style guides.
You see,
yeah, they thought of everything. So
they thought of everything.
Yeah.
And so which pretty much can potentially remove the design cross-check phase out of a project.
Yeah. I mean, you still have to get, I still have to look at,
it's not
like, eyeball
so
it myself.
Extensive. Like, oh my gosh, that's half the battle sometimes.
Oh yeah. But like, so the first project I ever did this with him on, like very recently, it came back pretty much mistake free. And I really contribute that to the fact attribute that to the fact that all the styles were just laid out in black and white for him to see. So it's for that alone, like it has saved me so many headaches.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, it's, I just
What's
love
it, called?
It so
Zen
much.
What? Zen?
Zeppelin.
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 Okay.
Yeah. So that's a good add-on. So if you're dealing with someone who doesn't have Mac, it's a really great way for them to at least access all the, because they can download all the sliced up assets. They can get everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a few cons though. You know, it's a new program, so it can be a little buggy at times. But usually all I have to do is kind of quit out of it and restart it up and it's fine again. And the text styles can be frustrating. So like for an example, if I'm dealing with a chunk of text where there's a headline, like in, let's say there's an H2 and then there's paragraph text underneath it, you can't do that. Like it, you'll have to have a separate text box for each thing. So, I mean, I guess it's not that big of a problem, but it feels like it sometimes because I don't want to be dealing with five different text boxes if I can be dealing with one. Because then you don't know, like, how much space do you have to put between the text boxes themselves? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, I don't know. It's just one of those things that I wish they would work out, and then it would be closer to perfect. So, but anyway, I highly recommend it. And, you know, I had to go back to using Photoshop because an old client popped up. They wanted some updates to their site. And, you know, we had, of course, designed it on Photoshop a couple years back. And it just didn't make sense to like redo everything in Sketch for these few updates.
Sure.
So I had to go back to my Photoshop documents and it's like, ugh. Like it just felt like I was going back in time somehow.
You've like acclimated completely. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's for anyone
who's
doubting
this.
I'm still
half and half.
Okay. You're still kind of going back to Photoshop and
I'm transitioning. Like, it's the same thing with FreshBooks. It's always an adjustment. So I still was recording some clients' time in the old system, and then new jobs started recording in the new FreshBooks system.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it would be really hard to kind of swap one out for the other, like mid-project.
Cold turkey, yeah.
Yeah, like mid-project, because there's really no way to like convert your Photoshop document into a sketch file. That doesn't exist. So.
But when Adobe buys them, there will be.
They better not buy them to like squash them. I'll be so upset if they do that.
And ruin it.
Another Pied Piper all over again.
Exactly.
You know, we keep talking about them, but. But yeah, so anyway, anyone who's thinking about making the switch, do it. It's a cheap, it's like $99. The program is.
That's unheard of.
But the thing is, you can't really get rid of Photoshop because you need it for other stuff.
No, it's not a replacement, I don't think.
You'll need the other programs for other things, but it's a really great time saver for when you're designing for the web. All right, so, and I know, Mikkel, you want to talk about Envision app, which goes along really nicely with Sketch. But before we start losing, like, if everyone's eyes are glazing over who's not really into web, don't worry, Nick, you've got something that's more print related later, right?
I'm always here. I'm always here.
You're our analog guy that we'll talk about print with in a bit. But yeah, so I just, we'll keep going with what we're talking about because it just dovetails nicely into what we were just talking about. So Mikkel, what is your secret weapon?
I love utilizing Envision for prototyping. So I hardly ever submit deliverables as static images to a client anymore. Mm-hmm. What I will do is I will upload it to my account. I pay for a subscription-based one. That way I can load as many client projects as I want. And similar to starting up your file with Sketch, you identify the type of project you're wanting to publish with your Envision account. And it varies anywhere from, like Wes was saying prior, to desktop HD form all the way down to an Apple Watch. So I publish in there. And what's great, not only for reviewing purposes for the client, is that it's also interactive for the client to provide feedback with. So rather than just saying, looks great, hero section, first slider, here are my edits in an email, and then just labeling each section component and then providing feedback, clients can go right into the system, highlight as though it would be an annotated PDF, and just provide comments for change, requests for change within that prototype. Just makes everything, it's almost like a project management tool in addition to prototyping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've started using this too, pretty much the same time I started with Sketch, actually, because it does go hand in hand. And I use it for two things. I'm sure that has way more functions than that. But, you know, I use it for mood boards because I've recently kind of changed my workflow for when I do a web web design for a client, I'll present two different mood board concepts, and you can do those within InVision, which is cool. Sorry, it's not InVision, it's InVision app.
IN.
Yeah. So like I'll present the mood boards in there where you can load in fonts, you can load in colors, like you can just choose a hex value and photos, and then they can just choose like A or B. So that's cool for that. And then they also, so you can export all of your artboards or selected artboards from Sketch, and you can make them into a, you know, like a prototype that's live on the web. Like it's static images, but you can define hotspots.
But at least they're to scale, ratio wise, and scrollable for almost that real time experience.
Yeah, and you can set up hotspots. So like again, just to use the same example, the rental car client with the booking widget. So to show all those different states, you make a hotspot over the car selector. So you click on that, and now you can see what the dropdown looks like. And it's like that real time, like you get to click and see it rather than, oh, now you have to look at the next page of the PDF to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easier pill for the client to swallow when they can kind of get that real, that more realistic feedback, you know?
And then similar to FreshBooks, the support team for InVision is available when you need them, and they always get right back to my emails, or they're available through a chat system, online chat system that is really, really user friendly. And I hardly ever export Sketch files. I drop in Sketch files, native source Sketch files into InVision. And through that upload, it knows to place the mobile into a mobile job, the desktop view into a desktop project.
Oh, cool.
So that clients can easily click around. Yeah, it's just beautiful.
I need to figure out how to do that, because that does seem like an easier way to do it.
Yeah, it's a good tool. It's a really good tool in the way that they collaborate. And it really wasn't much other than that I wanted to mention as a collaboration between the two for Sketch and InVision. Yeah. I know, I realize, like you had mentioned before too, Wes, that there's more to discover with InVision for prototyping purposes, and that'll come.
Sure.
But I think I use it by and large for the biggest benefits that it attributes to.
And the other thing too, I want to mention before we kind of stop talking about InVision is when I say I do these prototypes for the websites, and then you can live present it to your client. Have you done that?
Yes.
Yeah, because I no longer like to just email comps and just have them like think of it what they will
interpret
like,
it.
What am I looking at?
Interpret it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like to just like, because I have with every client, I have a once a week check-in meeting now, and during that meeting, if we have stuff to present, we will live present it, and I'll walk them through it. Like, so I just, it's a basically a screen share. Yeah. And they can click on it too. Like both of us can click around and add comments.
So they share their screen with you.
It's basically just like we kind of share together. It's weird. It's through the, it's not
through the
Skype or anything. It's through the app. It's through the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
So specifically, so you both can contribute.
Oh yeah. It's not like, I'm not like on Skype sharing my screen on Skype. It's through InVision app. So it's a really great way to do it. You can explain, you know, show your work as you're going. And that way it just makes it easy, because if they're not liking it, you can hear that they're not liking it rather than you have to be like thinking like you, because there's nothing.
Like, how do I interpret this? Sometimes it's so evident.
Yeah. Well, because I'm in that place right now where I've like submitted some logo designs to a client like the other day, and like, crickets, not hearing any, and then your mind just races. I hate that.
And then you get that one line comment back. You're like, I don't even know how to interpret that. Yeah. What did I do wrong?
Yeah. No, I'm right. I'm waiting for a snarky email, I'm sure. But this is why.
Yeah.
Plus,
I mean, this is making me think so much about this insurance company that I'm refreshing their website for. He's not a smart man. I have to spell everything out for him. So that screen share component is kind of a must. I mean, there's some clients that are super savvy. They get it.
Mm-hmm.
And some that I have that are longstanding, and I'll just submit the URLs because it's fine. But others are not that way at all.
Yeah. It's just good to have these in your arsenal, especially with a new client like that. If you know it's challenging, you've got a tool that's going to help them understand it the first time.
Sure.
You know, and better. Yeah.
And a lot of times if you're designing stuff for certain purposes, like, you know, half of what I do is like the strategy side. It's not just design. So it's like, okay, here's why we've done it like this.
Mm-hmm.
We had to use these keywords here. So this is why this is here, you know, because otherwise they may not know
the wrong term.
Yeah.
They it's may called not live know. Share in the Envision. I was using the wrong term.
Okay.
Live share. Yeah.
So check that out. I mean, between Sketch and Envision together, it's pretty powerful. You'll save a lot of time, I think.
Are they made by independent?
I don't think they're the same company.
Companies. Pretty cool that they work so well together.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. It's Bohemian together. Something.
Very cool that they're working so well together and they're totally independent.
Isn't it nice when people play nice with each other?
Yeah.
Isn't the world a better place?
Can't we all just get along?
Exactly. Unlike me and my dad when we have political discussions on the phone.
Oh, man.
That was fun. That was a good Father's Day. Anywho, nice. Nick. What's your secret weapon?
All right. Well, mine's an app. Mine's on your phone. It can work for both iPhone and Google, which is great. It is enhanced specifically if you are a Creative Cloud user, which is great. It's called Adobe Capture. And Capture is this fantastic app. I highly recommend you loading it up on your phone immediately to play around with it. Totally free. With the CC Cloud, it obviously, and the membership, it obviously expands to taking captured icons and images and things that you've found on your phone and taking them into usable and workable graphics and icons on your Illustrator and Photoshop on your Mac. So it is like four things in one. Basically what it does is it will turn any image you capture on your phone into a color theme, into a custom brush usable on Illustrator and Photoshop, a video look, which is a really cool idea, and a vector graphic. And to me, the vector graphic part of it is amazing. You basically can capture anything. Do you remember that old, there was an old app called Streamline that Autotrace has kind of taken the place of now, but you'd have to scan something, put it into this app, and it would streamline it and turn it into vector usable art. And there were like 20 steps in between. Now what you do is you basically go out and capture things and edit it on your phone, and it will wind up in your library on Illustrator and Photoshop immediately. It's completely synced in the cloud. So just to kind of give you an idea of what I use it for, you take pictures, have it on your phone, or you take it live via captured. Shapes is by far the highest used thing that I use it for. What I use it for is, let's say you need a unique texture or pattern, something like a brick wall or stones or fabric when you're trying to do a background in something. And you don't want to go, I think the whole point of capture is you're not going to creative markets and design sites and downloading the same shit that everybody else is using time and time and time again. You're basically making your own.
I don't even know how many brick walls I've downloaded over the years.
Oh my God. Exactly. Yeah. And
I know woods for me.
Yeah
exactly. Too. Wood grains. And even like a lot of times I just like to put like a really light, almost like I'd always search for linen fabric and just find a textured woven thing to add to a color. And just so it wasn't straight vector in your design. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So textures and things like that. Organic things like leaf shapes or branches, silhouettes of branches in a tree, even water reflection and mountains, all those things you go and look for. Here's your chance to do something and get it completely custom by something you've actually taken a picture of, right? The other day, we're putting together this wall mural for a restaurant we're working on. And instead of, they wanted an iron skillet as an icon. And I wanted something really rustic and kind of rough with a lot of little highlights in it. And instead of looking online, I went ahead and just placed my cast iron plate on my counter, took an overhead, and what you got was this fantastic editable vector art that shows
That's
up in
so
Illustrator
cool.
in like 5 seconds, right?
That's so cool.
Can, You control the contrast. You can make it super detailed or very, very much.
And this is all via mobile before you drop it in.
Exactly. Exactly. So you actually have it on your device to actually look at and see, which is fantastic. So just to, and I'll, maybe what I can do too is show a few samples of them and I'll put a PDF together. But anything you do, even hand lettering,
yes,
you actually get these little things and any kind of drawing that you want to show or do, bring into Illustrator. So I also use it for silhouettes.
Oh, with that type, it was like etched.
Yes,
was,
exactly. So like, okay. Here's one that was just a marker.
So just and it was, so the listeners aren't like, what the hell's going on here?
You realize this is a podcast, Nick.
Nick is showing us through his screen what output samples you get for type script scenarios.
I think anything that you want to do that's hand-drawn or handwritten or even a sketch of something and you want to get it into Illustrator, I know a lot of times you just need a certain word and there's no font that you can find that kind of mimics the style that you need for just this nice little highlight of a font or a text in your design. And I've been using this strictly with a lot of really cool fat tip markers, things that I have in my old like art box, you know, the stuff that we barely get to. But I even did some paint strokes with paint and a paintbrush, captured it on here, and I got the perfect the for this design. And
that's cool.
Instead of, you know, so you're not resorting to fonts. And even when you're at a point with a client's ready to pay some money for the fonts and get something really unique and interesting, you've got something one of a kind with this. And the fact that it's vector means it's, you know, totally expandable. So you don't have to worry about scale. You bring this font in and or this text in and you've got it. So I found it as a huge benefit. It's a great alternative on this shapes part to do anything that you would go out and typically buy for it. If you see anything out and about, even wood grain or slabs of wood, and you want to get that pattern texture of, you know, slabs of wood, like a flooring, anything you're doing for your backgrounds, for you name it, enhancements of your design, this thing has got it. And I tell you, once you're on it, you'll be playing around with the shapes part of it tremendously. It's such a blast. So that's the first kind of area
that it does. Does it make seamless patterns?
I'll get into that. That's kind of the next thing.
Cool.
So you could take that art and you can turn it into basically seamless patterns and non-seamless patterns. You could take a picture of almost anything. And on screen, you basically drag and drop like a crop, like a constraint crop box. And actually you highlight the area of that image. You can actually do it while you're holding like a live feed. Like, so your camera's capturing something and live, you are changing where you want that pattern to capture the square. And it will make it, turn it into a pattern. It's waiting for you in Photoshop and Illustrator the minute you are done with it.
Library sync has to be set up.
Exactly. You're right. So
I only see one problem with this, and that's that I can never get my goddamn iCloud password. Like, I can never
work.
Oh,
that's right.
I can never get the passwords. And like, it's one of those things that just, you know,
turns you off
my life. Well, it just F's with my life. Every time I turn my phone back on or my computer on, it's like, iCloud can't sync because blah, blah, blah. And like, I try to put in a password. It's like, oh, wrong password. Like, okay.
I know. I get a little glitch sometimes. I always like restart or sign off and sign on again. And I'm usually back on. But I know I've heard a lot of people say it's a little finicky for them on their cross platforms, the way you were saying it. You can, as an option on any of these, when you're in Capture, you can email it to you as a PDF. So it don't have to worry about the sync if it's not working properly.
Sure.
So you can get it to your computer eventually just via email. So this pattern thing is by far the coolest thing. It just added to the app, I think, in the last week or two. It was the newest feature on it. So pattern making, for sure, you can do with anything you capture and select from a photo. The next thing that they do is this thing called colors. And maybe you guys have seen this. You basically can capture a palette of colors from a photo and then turn that into a color palette that you use on either Photoshop or Illustrator. And you hover live.
We were nerding out about this one at the bar at How Design.
Oh, that's right.
At that event before we went to the Irish. Yeah.
Yeah. A great example is one time we were doing something and we knew it was being presented to Starbucks and it had to have the theme and the colors and the vibe of what a Starbucks environment is. Went to a local Starbucks, held up my phone, as it captures the image, there's six color blocks that it's capturing, and it has these little dots and bubbles on your image. You move them around to where you want them, and what it will do is it'll capture a perfect six color palette that mimics what the environment you're in. So you get those natural greens, those browns, all those tones. So if you now go back and need to do a whole project that kind of resembles the vibe and the feel of, let's say, Starbucks, or if you're at a park and you want to capture nature, you get all those in there. If you're in a very woodsy, you know, home or something, where, you know, whatever it is, you, and then when you name it, not only does it add to your library on both Illustrator
and Photoshop,
but excuse me, it adds it to the actual master kind of Adobe color library on color when you look those up, so you can share with other people. So a lot of times we were doing, let's say, a job on infant baby products, and you want to get that color palette just right. You could see what other people have captured on Capture and use that to your advantage as well. So it's a great sharing platform for both colors and this other thing they call looks, where that same color palette will now be applied to any video footage that you're editing on the Creative Suite, and it will bring those color tones into what you shot. Let's say someone says that video you're enhancing doesn't look rustic enough. Well, you can find those rustic colors and then add it into it, and it applies that to your video and makes them look a lot more richer and what you're looking for. So all this from this cool little app that you've basically added on your phone, and it's free. So
that's awesome.
100 uses there, which is great. But one of the favorite ones is this fourth one. It's called Brushes. And what it allows you to do is take anything you've captured, turn it into a vector sourced ribbon. So handwriting, anything with a brush, it will use, and it will capture what you've selected. The best example I could tell you on this was a client had a logo, and rope and handle. It was a furniture company, and he wanted something in there, the R to be in a rope font. And let's face it, rope fonts are like the cheesiest thing there, right?
You look at all these standard.
Exactly. So I'm looking at all
the only
these,
one I could think
at,
of.
Looking at all these fonts, and I'm like, oh my god! Even the paid ones, I was like, there was nothing even coming close to what we were looking for. So we took an old, we found an old rope at on campus, believe it or not, at school. I found this rope. It was like perfect Western, with, you know, really raw and really like kind of aged, about 2 foot section. Took a shot of it. Then it becomes now this complete brush. And you actually pick the corners. You can, like, you know, when you like kind of when you're making paths on Illustrator, you can actually kind of the option of how to handle the corners and how it turns and things like that. You do that with this sample you made. And now you have this like lasso brush that you can create any font with based on this really more authentic version of what the rope looked like, rather than the cheesy ones you're going to get in a font. So another
so
great
it end
example.
Up looking, does it end up looking kind of photorealistic then, or does it do
it,
like
it
a
does.
Okay
it yeah cool. it well actually it's more like a and I'll hold some what do you call it some I'll include some samples, but so you guys can see it. That's kind of what it looks like. And
that's
this is completely drawable. See how
Whoa.
You draw on
oh
screen.
My that's just awesome. You can
feel like we're in the future.
Yeah. Maybe.
Can you control how much of that literal texture is brought to the surface?
Yes, completely contrast adjustable. So
that's cool.
You get a fine detail or just super black and white, right? And just highlights and super darks and super lights. And then
that's cool.
The nice thing is you preview it right on screen. You kind of can do a little handwriting test right on the screen and see if you like it. Save it. And next time you go into CC, it's all there ready to use. So to me, this whole Capture thing, and the cool thing is they keep adding on things to it. The next thing they're going to add is a custom type. You actually will start with like a Helvetica T, and you can change, you can condense it, you can expand it, you can add serifs, you can slant it, you can curve the edges, and it's basically their next level of you customizing font from a basic like Helvetica or Times, and it'll be a part of this Capture which they keep adding on to, and they show every year at Adobe Max. So I'm excited that this thing keeps getting better and better. and they add new features to it. And it's more stuff for you as a designer to have in your arsenal to look more, I think, original and use stuff that's sourced by you rather than open source things that, you know, let's face it, we're seeing this stuff being used so much that it hurts even when you have to resort to that stuff, that it looks like a lot of stuff out there. So
yeah,
for me, it's all about originality with this app, and it keeps playing and keeps getting better.
All right, before we get to the listener question, just want to really quickly hit on our friends at Green Geeks. Not hit on them, but just hit them up. I mean, I love Green Geeks, but I don't know that I love them like that. So, but in terms of having a web, like a hosting provider, they are just the best. You know, it's unlimited space and data transfer, 24/7, 365 US-based support, phone or live chat. They're always up. They'll migrate your site for free. They'll do it for your clients. They just have really great rates. Reseller plans start at $19.95 a month, and then individual plans start at just $3.96 a month. So you really can't beat that. And they're just really a great way to go. No muss, no fuss. So to get 20% off your first billing cycle, go to thedeependesign.com/hosting and use the promo code TAKE20OFF. That's TAKE20OFF. All right, cool. So we've got our listener question. Mikkel, do you want to read that?
Tiffany writes, I'm wondering, I'm on a limited budget, so I try to do as much as possible by myself. I'm thinking, especially when it comes to web design, I've never designed a website, and to take the time to learn will definitely take time away from doing my own design projects for clients. I'm thinking, would it be a better idea to have a web designer friend come along and get a percentage of my package fee, which would be the web design portion, and they redesign it rather than me trying to figure it out? Or would it be who of me, quote unquote, to learn the art?
Yeah.
Who being H-O-O.
Yeah. Be who of you. Tiffany, I think that this is just me, though. Like, I've always kind of said, I feel like the future, it's going more and more digital, right? Like, there will always be a need for other kind of design as well. It'll always be logo design and all that stuff. But I don't know. Well, it's easy for me to say, yeah, learn it. It's the future. But
yeah.
I will also say, but then someone like me, like, I like certain things. I don't like certain things. Mm-hmm. So I think if you really... I wouldn't be scared of it if you want to learn it and you're just kind of scared of it. But if you really have no interest in it, then that might mean something.
That would be the differentiation for me, I think. Cause I firmly believe if there's something you don't do, find someone that does it better and have them join the club, you know? And I think she has a great option here to either, if she's really interested in it and wants to learn, definitely find a way to do it, but, you know, ramp up the work so you're not suffering on the other side. You know what I mean? If it's not of an interest, you know, and you know someone that you trust, that's kind of what I do. And I don't have the interest. So to me, I want to keep what I do on branding as my 100%, you know, focus.
Right.
And when I need to, I look at my network and the people I've got, my go-tos, and those have become part of my business when I need it. So, yeah. She could really answer the question, but hopefully we're giving her a better idea of what direction she's going, you know?
Yeah. And I think the one time it'll get tricky, though, is if you're trying to kind of fold that friend, the web designer friend, onto your business umbrella.
Yes.
It gets tricky then. Like, at that point, you realize you'll have to have that friend kind of be the client's go-to person, contact person.
Correct.
Because if you don't really know web design, you're not going to be the one to go over the designs with the client.
Mm-hmm.
Like there'll be a disconnect there that you don't really want. That'd be the, like, me trying to kind of talk development with my clients. Like, I always have to say,
yeah,
I'm not the developer. I'll have to get back to you about that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
I think that makes sense. Yeah. Because even if she learned the ins and outs of design and developing, can she really talk it and feel comfortable with the client at that point? So if you do bring that person on, I think it'd be smart to pick someone that could be, you know, a right hand for you. And it makes you look better. It makes you look, you know, let me transfer you to she'll be talking to you about the development side. It makes you as a small company look better. And that's kind of my goal when it comes to things like that, is I do want to show that there are other people on my team that are point people. And that makes you stronger, I think, mm-hmm. too, you mm-hmm. know, rather mm-hmm. than you feel you having to be the only. And this is the spot I'm in right now, is giving people that are working on my team now the availability or the chance to talk and be a point person on email and on phone with clients. And it's hard to give up. But when you do it, whoo, you know, and you pick the right person, you train them the right way. This could be a great thing for her to really open up and be better at what she's really into and what she loves to do as a business owner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll agree with all that.
Yeah.
And if you do feel like you have an interest in learning web design, like I was saying earlier in this show, I mean, get Sketch and play around with it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that it's easier than, like, I feel like it's broken down some barriers a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, cause
less scary. Yeah.
Yeah, the things that used to be the scary part, like, oh, how wide do I have to make it? How all that, the text and all that stuff, like it really kind of makes it easier to mm-hmm. understand. So
you got me really interested in it. Yeah. I'm going to download and take a look. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think that if you're interested in web, but it scares you, Sketch is probably a great place to not only start, but to end up, because I think mm-hmm. that's the new, as far as I'm concerned, it's the new software. It's the new must have.
Yeah, nice. It's almost like designers. They've vectorized the program. It's kind of a little bit of a, I think if you're familiar with how to work Illustrator, mm-hmm. so I think this should be encouraging for mm-hmm. Unic, then
it's, yeah.
Yeah, getting acclimated to Sketch won't be as burdensome.
Yeah, but yeah, if you would rather just partner up with someone, we're always big advocates of that. Do what you do best and what interests you the most, and supplement yourself with other people to do what they do best. So,
right. Yes.
You know, I think, you know, the answer, Tiffany, whatever the answer is for you. But just don't operate out of fear. If you want to do it, then learn it. If you don't, then find a friend. Exactly. All right, cool. Well, keep sending in those listener questions to questions@thedeependdesign.com. And of course we love the audio ones, or you can do it on Twitter. Just use the hashtag DGDC. All right, where can people find y'all online, Mikkel?
I can be found at mkmdesignco.com. My refresh has launched, so I would love to know opinions. And on Instagram, under mkmdesignco.
Cool. Nick?
I'm at Longer
Designs.
What
are you designs. Laughing at?
I love. I'm sorry.
I can't see your face right now, so it's a little bit harsh.
It was pretty hilarious.
Oh, that I couldn't get my get my company name out.
Yeah.
End of the episode.
It's her first day.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
She's a new
Let me see if I can get this right. All right. I'm at longodesigns.com.
There you go.
And Longo Designs on Instagram, Longo Designs Inc. on Twitter, where
you had just messed that up.
Twitter's so much fun. Twitter's been a fun little area to talk design with other people and find some great new designers to kind of look and follow. So if you're on Twitter, definitely say hello.
Nice. And you can follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell, or on Facebook at facebook.com/thedeependdesign. All right, that'll do it for this week. We got some more good episodes in the can coming up. So, yeah, with that in mind, keep designing. Catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.